For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
One of the things that probably, I don't know how much it's maybe surprised people, but in one of the wards, there is an alternative voice available on the general election. That is Phil Menendez, who's here with us now. Good to see you again, Phil. And
Thanks for having me. Congratulations.
And I say, you know, a little bit of a alternative, because when you look through most of the races, the far left, you know, the Mayor Jones and, you know, Board of Aldermen President Megan Green, their endorsements pretty much ran the table, just far, far, far left. So you're still on the ballot. You make it through to the general election, which happens next month here in just, what, a couple weeks or so. And this is very different. If you're elected, at the very least, there's somebody saying, hey, there's another way. So when you get the word, you see that you're making it to the general, what goes through your mind, and what's the message now to voters?
The message now is what I'm putting out there. Currently, it's just full-time. I'm the full-time alderman that'll be there. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, progressive, independent. I didn't get those over 900 votes for just one party. It was all of them. They're tired of what's going on with the city. So there is hope, and I'm going to bring it, and I got it. People just need to show up. They need a vote. You want that full-time alderman, you vote for Phil Menendez.
So, Phil, just kind of recap, how did you think you pulled off that first win? Because I know there are a lot of people out there who are wondering, and who may be thinking of replicating that in other areas, other blue areas. We need to get a little more infiltration in these places. So what do you think set your candidacy apart and got you this far?
What set it apart was, first, being a lifelong city resident, I lived in the ward my entire life for 50 years, so I saw how great it was, 70s, 80s, 90s. I see how it is now and how bad it was the last 6 years with nothing even being done, and that's what caused me to start running. So, and with my profession, being a city police officer for 23 years, where I had to leave eventually on-duty injury. But I told people that I used to work the streets. It was all community engaged. I worked with the neighborhoods that City Hall gave up on. You know, so I had to cut through the red tape and help. I was rich on success of the neighborhood. We knew going in, like, I started off making only $24,000, at the end making $47,000, but I was the richest guy out there in the world, because the communities that I patrolled within the South City and North Side, with everyone giving up, we were the boots on the ground. We stuck with the communities. We worked with the leaders. You have to be out there with them, talking with them, and letting them know you're going to help them.
Okay, so when the general election comes around, somebody's going to say, all right, if you get elected, which, by the way, is a very real possibility here. Mm-hmm. If you get elected, you're one voice in the wilderness against the other 13 older men and women out there. What can you bring to the debate, and how can that one voice still be effective?
Well, I think the foremost important is listening. I could be at the table with the other 13 and I could listen. I'm not going to put up any blockers, all because I don't believe in some of their styles or ways that, you know, that their elections and that are, or how they want to run things. If they come up with a good idea that's going to help out Ward 2, then I'll be on it. Then I'll go back to Ward 2 and let everyone know. I'm just not going to shut down sitting at the table. The whole point is, everyone, no matter what party we're from, we have to be together as one. We have to listen to each other. We have to treat each other professionally, because the only one that's going to get hurt, like we're being hurt now, is the residents and businesses of the city of St. Louis. So we just need to unite, come together, and pick and choose what's good for our wards and take it to it.
Now, are there any particular issues that you're going to want to advocate for when you get into the chamber? Are things that you're going to be fighting for? It's like, hey, here's my proposal. Here's what I think should happen. Here are the things that are going to benefit my ward. Anything just kind of you're chomping at the bit to talk about?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, being a voice, but also being a voice for the city employees, our ward too, and like the rest of the wards are, they're failing on a lot of things with the trash because they don't have the proper equipment, the proper trucks. But if you're out there and you see it, then I'm able to maybe help them out, but also help the constituents get stuff moved. It's not about adding double, triple, quadruple fines. It's about getting a mattress removed out of the alley that was already thrown in the alley, not the car that dropped it off, because our license plates probably won't be registered anyway. We got streets with speed bumps. Some have 4 speed bumps. It depends who you know at the time, so you get them. But there's other people out there that have kids on the block that are asking one, two dozen times, you know, for speed bumps, and they are not heard because either they're not with the right clique or the right area or the right party. So that needs to be heard, needs to be addressed. We got street signs, we got safety in our neighborhoods. The police need to be heard. We've lost over 30 police because of our leaders, because on how they're being treated at City Hall. So if they leave, we lose that expertise and the knowledge that these officers have, and then we're not even trying to promote to bring officers back into the city. So between listening to constituents, what they need pretty much from the ground up, and then all the way to safety, I think those are the most important things.
I'm sure you've gotten plenty of congratulations over the last few days.
Yes,
are there specific issues that those folks have spoken to you about? Besides the ones that you just mentioned now, are there things that that folks hope when you get into City Hall that maybe you can try to make some changes in the city government?
Sure. I mean, excuse me, one of the most, the common word I heard at the polls was first that they love the full-time older person that I'll be out there on the streets with them so I could listen what their concerns are. The second would be Kim Gardner. People are concerned about Kim Gardner. In the last 2 years, I've been speaking about Kim Gardner. You know, it's a shame what happened to that young girl, but there's thousands of other victims in the last 2 years that from homicides to the violent robberies, either, you know, just mentally or physical harm that has done to people, but we're so numb here in the city of St. Louis with crime. When do we step up and say, enough's enough, Kim Gardner? We got to do something about this, because the victims I know will be behind the leaders. The ones who aren't victims yet will be behind the leaders. But everyone's afraid to cross that political line. Oh, I'm with the Democrats, so even though I know what's right, I can't stick up or say anything because I'm going to offend someone. Well, at that point, as a leader, you can't worry about offending someone. You got to worry about the people who you're supposed to be leading.
Yeah, so when it comes to improving public safety, obviously it's possible that by the end of the year, the state has got the oversight of the police department. So that could change how it's run. But what needs to change when it comes to law enforcement and that safety? We just talked about a story earlier today where the Boys and Girls Club's Youth of the Year is gifted a car because, you know, she's doing awesome. So much at school and she needs it and her mom works long hours and it was stolen this week. So the 18-year-old's first foray into adult life before she even graduates high school is having something she depends on stolen. I mean, so that's crime culture in St. Louis. How do we break that and move the city in that right direction, which isn't going to happen overnight?
No, it won't happen overnight. But what you need to do is stand behind your police officers. They lock up people every single day. Time they get back on the street from writing reports, they're locking that same person up. You know, this nonviolent crime is the start of all crime. When you break into cars just looking for guns, if you break or stealing cars, it's to do robberies. There's no traffic violence. It's called thugs in a car driving around robbing people and blowing 100 miles per hour. It's not just that St. Louis roll stop that they used to always joke about back in the day. These are people that are running a gun and knowing the police can't do anything about it. And the police have the tools. Now they need the leaders and they need the prosecutor and then everyone else fall on board to help them out.
So when you look at, you came in second place. So that's what gets you to the general election here. So what's the effort going to look like to win over those voters who voted for somebody else in that primary election and their candidate didn't win, or they're simply people that maybe still up for hearing from somebody new? So basically, it's a whole new election. You're just resetting and starting over.
It is. It's reset and it's double down. It's no sleep until April 5th. You know, full steam ahead. What I do is I go back to the other people. When my opponent got out early with the absentees, you know, with the mail-ins and all that stuff. So the time I knocked on the doors and spoke with them and they got to learn who I was, what I was about, they're like, man, I already voted or I would have voted for you. So I think that's going to help me out. All these, I'll hit them again, but they also know they have another chance to vote. They have already met me, and then they go in and pencil my name in at the time on April 4th. So.
Yeah, see, that's an important point because, frankly, with your opponent, that's good strategy when you got people who, I mean, they may very well have taken the ballots out to him for all we know or told him, you know, how to get in. So if somebody's going to vote absentee or vote early, it's important that people know now. So really, the campaign isn't just about the actual election day on general election. The campaign is on right now. It is election day already in St. Louis, and people need to remember that.
Sure. And I mean, you can't hate the player. You got to hate the game.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We're going to get out there. And there's a lot of people in both parties now that are actually having me at their house. So the ones who had my opponent's yard sign in their front yard, they said, hey, you got to meet Phil. So they started, they're all having and pushing more meetings in the neighborhoods. So I'm talking to more 15, 20, 25 people at the time. Like I tell them, we're not going on a whole state or a whole citywide here. We're only talking three, four neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So if you really like what I'm about and what I offer, what I'm going to bring to St. Louis City Ward 2, then get on the phone, call your friends and say, hey, you got to hear this guy. Or just take it from me, you know, the person calling, that I really like him and I'm voting for him. But if not, I'll talk to one person to 500 plus people to just get out in front and let them know and hear my message.
Now, I'm really curious about the crossover voter types. You know, the people who would usually vote for the Democrat or the incumbent or whoever, but they hear your message and things start to change about how they're looking at this upcoming election. What are the issues that usually kind of change their mind? What are the issues that they're concerned about where they're actually going to give you an electoral chance here?
Well, I had some phone calls where people did their homework on me and they had even titled themselves, hey, I'm a progressive. You know, I'm friends with Megan Green and with the regime downtown. However, they know that I can sit at the table, again, like I said earlier, and be professional. I'll listen to everyone. I'm not going to just put, again, blinders on and not listen, because what good does that do? And then the other one to call and say, hey, you know, from social workers or the guys that are on the ground, they know that I've been there. They know that my boots have been on the ground in these neighborhoods, making no money, but working for everything and working for the communities. They see that. They see what I'm generally, like, genuine about. And then they had said, now they're going to vote my way.
Let's play this to the rest of the city. I thought the St. Louis Republican Party was very smart in targeting, okay, there are some areas where we think we can really be effective, whether it's an independent, whether it's a Republican, whether it's anybody else. And they said, these are the, you know, two or three areas we're going to focus our effort into with success. Regardless of what happens in the general, and hopefully, obviously, you end up winning. But what's the lesson for whether it's independents or Republicans or libertarians or others who just say, like you said, regime, there needs to be a regime change, but there needs to be a change in City Hall. So there may be people who aren't necessarily Republicans are looking at your race and going, oh, maybe there's some hope, whether they know you or not, because there was a little bit of a crack in that armor where some voters didn't do what they were told by the machine. How do we get more voters to divorce themselves from doing what they're told by the machine in other parts of the city, or maybe later on the county and the area?
At the end of the day, they need to take off their blinders also. They need to see what's going on in their neighborhood when crime is at its highest rate, when you see the alleys full of trash. I mean, you see a lot of negatives. What has been positive in the last 6 years just in Ward 2 that we could say, heck, if it's been positive for the last 6 months, I wouldn't even be running. I'd be visiting my boys up at Fort Bragg. They're both 82nd Airborne. I'd be taking time off doing that, but I can't right now. And I don't want to flee the city, so I'm staying, trying to do my part. People, and you see it, though, because you see all the yard signs. It says Phil Menendez, full-time alderman. And I think that shocked a lot of people. There's a field of yellow all over. Those aren't daisies on people's front lawn. Those are my yard signs. And it's all, you know, Democrat, independent, progressive, Republicans.
Okay, so when you look at, I guess when you look at, you know, what's still ahead, I want to tap into your business owner aspect of your experience right now. We've talked about your law enforcement. We know that crime and public safety are the top issue. Jobs fleeing the city, opportunity fleeing the city is another issue. From a business person's perspective, what do you want to see City Hall do differently to not just attract jobs, but keep the ones that we've got here so that we have, you know, more people actually in the city trying to rebuild what's been hollowed out?
I think the business owners, at least in Ward 2 also, because there are a lot of mom and pop shops that need, they want to be heard. They want to be heard in City Hall. They might live out in the county, but they pay huge real estate taxes. They pay huge taxes on what they sell. So they have no voice. And as I tell them, until something's changed, I could be that guy shoulder to shoulder with them, with their voice downtown. But they definitely need to be heard because they're involved in all the crime. We got people that have been victim of crime four or five times in one store, and actually the same store, a guy pulled up an SUV and just put it, walked in, took a bike out and put it on his roof and drove off.
Oh, wow.
But they can't call the insurance company because then they're going to lose their insurance. Mm. But then they could see up the street in Afton, like, they get his lots where they're trying to bring them out to the county, and they're trying to stay. They're literally have their suitcase and everything, like, almost packed, but they're trying to see what can they do, you know, so... They're trying to tell all their friends and their customers who live in Ward 2, hey, we need to change. You need to go with this Phil Menendez, who I spoke with, even though, because I have no say-so, this is why you need to if you want me to keep my business here.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the major aspects of what's happening in St. Louis, because you look at the population loss that's happened. Well, businesses go where the market is. Right. So, like, the business you just described, a lot of people would go to them and say, why haven't you moved yet? And at some point, they're not going to have a choice. They're going to have to unless things are turned around in the city.
Right. And here's one more example. Turn it around where the old Chinooks is when you head out to Shrewsbury and McKenzie. Okay. Right. Before I ever decided to run, as a regular citizen, I'd see it every day and just get so angry that it's a vacant building. Hmm. It could be electric being paid, water being paid. There's 75% of that building, even though Shrewsbury owns like 25% of it. Now, I'm not even the alderman yet, have been in conversations with Shrewsbury, who knows the owner, who wants to fill it, but there's no one from the city even taking their calls to try to help. Now, where's the alderman at that time trying to fill that building up? You know, it could be a distribution center, right? Mm-hmm. Amazon, or it could be something positive in there, and that could be more money from the city. But there's no one, they don't care.
Not to mention just the jobs and the payrolls and all the residual effects of that. All right, got Dale online here. Now, we are up against a clock, so we've got an information break. So let's do this. Dale, you're on with Phil Menendez, and then, Phil, we just got maybe a minute or two for your response after this. So, Dale, what's your question?
I wonder how these, we're all dumbfounded by the Democrat voters just keep voting in the face of their own destruction a certain way. Does the Stockholm, Sweden syndrome figure into that? I mean, Stockholm syndrome figure into that in any way?
And that's what we're trying to break. Hey, Dale, appreciate you being on the show. So, I mean, the question comes down to, how are you helping people break out of the patterns, you know, of voting that they've done in the past?
I mean, a lot of it they have to do themselves. And the more you become, I guess, like, you know, the young girl I noticed, probably not even the first time she's been a victim that had her car stolen. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a shame that it takes us sometimes to be the victim or have a family member be a victim. And not just crime, just of the, you know, from the trash and everything else that's going on the city level to finally change your mind. But everyone needs to look around and, you know, even myself, that you could agree with other people. It doesn't have to say I'm fully stocked into this. But sometimes there needs to be change. And this is the time we need to change, because we'll find out April 4th. If people vote the same, then we haven't hit rock bottom. Because there's no way you've been 6 years and done nothing and you're going to vote for that same person just because he's already in or because he's a Democrat. We need change, and it goes, take this away from this ward. It goes all the other wards. It goes to the mayor. It goes to Kim Gardner. So we keep voting the same. We have not hit rock bottom. There's going to be more victims and negative out there.
All right. What's the website or the social media? Where do you want people to get in touch?
Menendez4STL.com. Menendez4STL.com. So if you want a yard sign so we could put more out there and have it a sea of yellow, just get on the website and I'll be the one dropping it off at your house.
Great, Phil. Appreciate you coming in, man. Congratulations again on the primary.
Thank you, guys. We can do this.
Thanks, man.
Now the hard work really gets underway.
Yeah. Hey, nothing's easy, right? I'm all about it. I grew up in the city. I grew up with hard work. So this is nothing. I'm ready to go.
All right. 314-912-1019. Appreciate you stopping in, Phil.
Thank you, sir.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.